is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, and welcome back to it. It is Tuesday here on the program. We'll get to some of those big decisions from the Supreme Court in a moment. But first, the concerns over Attorney General Loretta Lynch, former Attorney General Loretta Lynch, those concerns are growing. Another prominent Democrat has come forward to voice concerns about allegations ex-Attorney General Loretta Lynch may have sought to keep a lid on last year's email probes with Hillary Clinton. Adam Schiff says he is queasy at the thought. He's deeply concerned, which is a Democrat of that level coming out is unusual. I'd like to hear what Loretta Lynch's explanation for that is, either by having her come to the Hill or by having her speak publicly, he said. The call significantly ups the pressure on Lynch as the push to scrutinize her conduct in last year's Clinton email investigation becomes more bipartisan and more intense. You notice with these things coming up, the headlines for the last 72 hours or so, devoid of Russian stories. We've talked about the Obamacare repeal. We've talked about the Supreme Court. We've talked about Adam Schiff and his concern with Lynch. A lot of things going on, but the Russia story fading for the first time in quite some time to back pages, although three journalists either quit or were fired at CNN after yet another retracted fictional story about the Russia investigation was published on CNN.com. CNN casting the departure of the three as resignations in the wake of the fiasco. But the network has come under substantial criticism since apologizing for the story, and they have also said they're going to approach their Russian stories in a far different way going forward. Anthony Scaramucci, the Trump advisor who is the target of the story, told folks he has accepted the apology. He put it out on Twitter. I accept their apology. I'm moving forward. Everybody makes mistakes, he tweeted out. But he also said, I was disappointed the story was ever published because it was a lie. Lex Harris was the executive editor of CNN's executive investigative unit. He was the highest ranking official two step down. Thomas Frank, who wrote the story, and Eric Lichtblau, who edited it, also quit. Now, Lichtblau is a highly regarded reporter in some circles who spent almost 15 years at the New York Times. Maybe he'll go back to his old haunts. The story tried, and in fact, the story made a link between Scaramucci and the Russian Direct Investment Fund. Scaramucci, a Trump transition team member who has been nominated to an ambassador-level post in Paris. And the CNN.com article claimed that Scaramucci in January held secret meetings with investment companies from Russia and so on and so forth. It was all poppycock. And again, the anonymous sources leading us where exactly? The anonymous sources leading us where exactly? Meanwhile, the big news yesterday, of course, is the Supreme Court handing the president a huge win. No matter how much the networks and the cable news public relations arms of the Democratic Party and liberals tried to downplay its significance, Donald Trump's win in front of the Supreme Court was a huge victory. The travel ban, for the most part, put back in place. They carved out an exception for foreigners from those six countries that if they're already accepted at school or have a direct connection to this country, they can still go through the extended vetting and get in. Trump said from the beginning when the travel ban was struck down by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals that he would prevail. The government has made a strong showing that it is likely to succeed on the merits, that is, that the judgments below will be reversed, wrote Justice Thomas, supported by Alito and Gorsuch. The government has also established that failure to say the injunctions will cause irreparable harm by interfering with its compelling need to provide the nation's security. At issue was whether the temporary ban violated the religion clauses of the First Amendment, the Due Process Clause of the Fifth. It's called the Establishment Clause, by the way, in the First Amendment, and the Fifth and the 14th Amendments, Due Process Clauses, and the ban on nationality discrimination in the issuance of immigrant visas contained in a 65-year-old congressional law. Those federal appeals courts located in Virginia and California in recent weeks have ruled against the administration, but this struck those down clearly. The nations in question, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. But it does beg the question, why do countries like Saudi Arabia, where we know that terrorists originate from, 15 of the 19 terrorists on 9/11 came from Saudi Arabia, why does Saudi Arabia always get a pass? Something for you to consider. Why does Saudi Arabia always get a pass? Meanwhile, at the Supreme Court yesterday, a busy day for Neil Gorsuch. He joined Clarence Thomas in issuing a scathing dissent for the court's decision not to take a gun rights case from California. The court rejected a challenge from San Diego regarding the right to keep and conceal handguns by private citizens. The case in question involved a San Diego man who said state and county policies requiring good cause had to have good cause to have a handgun. Federal appeals courts have ruled for the state, and now those restrictions will stay in place. And you have to ask, as Justices Thomas and Gorsuch did, why is the Supreme Court so afraid of taking these cases? It's been going on a decade now since they've taken any significant gun case. And these are important cases, as pointed out by Thomas and Gorsuch, to further outline and establish how far a person's right to keep and bear arms goes. As they aptly point out, the High Court has thoroughly gone through the First and Fourth Amendments, but the Second Amendment not treated the same. In fact, the Second Amendment appears to be a disfavored right, is what Thomas wrote in his opinion to dissent, the opinion. It's 14 after. It's a Tuesday here on the program. You're listening to The Steve Gruber Show.